everyone. This is Poonam from NQF. We'll be starting shortly. Just confirming, Andrew, are you on the phone? Andrew from NQF.
Yep. I am. I'm right here.
Perfect. Thank you, Andrew. Andrew, did you want to go ahead and give it a couple more minutes in case people are still joining?
Yeah, maybe let's give one or two more minutes.
Perfect. Thank you so much. So we'll be starting shortly, and please bear with us in the meantime. Thank you, everyone. Andrew, shall we start?
I think we could probably get started.
Okay. Did you want me to go ahead and do the intro and then the roll call, and then I'll give it to you?
Sure.
Okay. So thank you, everyone, for joining the call, and thank you for those who joined early in your patience as we get today's call started. This is the follow-up call to subgroup number 4. The first call was on Tuesday. We were able to get through majority of the measures that needed to be discussed. We have one more measure, 3560, that still needs to be discussed, and that will be talking about. Just a reminder to our methods panel members, three measures did pass review, and they were not discussed on the last call. In this instance, we actually just let them pass unless however, if you would like to pull them up for review again, to review more detail, we can. With that said, we did send you a survey link on Tuesday with the to the link to the SurveyMonkey, which you should be using to cast your votes. Please let us know if you don't have it, but if you can fill that out as we go through, that's very useful. Staff will prompt you to cast your votes when timing is appropriate. We only have one measure to discuss today, but, you know, we do want to be confident of everybody's time. So let's try to be concise, and hopefully we can get to this measure effectively. And then I just wanted to remind everyone that this call is a public call. There will be developers on the line to answer any questions from staff or panel members. However, there is no opportunity for public comment. For record keeping, this call is being recorded. We ask that you please state your name every time you make a remark, just so it's easier for us to keep track of that. So with that, I'll do a quick roll call. Is Liam Vance on the phone?
Okay. Who was that again?
I'm sorry, Larry, is that you?
No, that was Matt Austin, sorry.
Thank you. Sorry, it might be, I'll try to speak a little louder. Lacey Fabian?
Here, thank you.
Glenn Newsy? Matt Austin?
Here.
Mike Soto?
I'm here, too.
Perfect, thank you. With that, I'll get to Andrew.
Okay, thanks, Poonam. I know I heard a couple more beeps here. I'm just going to call one more time. Did we have Larry Glantz on? How about Gene Nuccio? All right. All right, well, we can go ahead and talk about the measure. This is, so we're going to, the last measure in our set, it is number 3516, percent of patients or residents experiencing one or more falls with major injury. This is a bit of an unusual measure in some ways. It applies to three separate care settings and is in some ways sort of three different measures. It's also a little unusual in that it is measuring a very low frequency event, which, you know, sort of changes some of the expectations to some degree for some of these testing results. I know that some of our reviewers had some concerns about the low reliability of results. And maybe we can start there if anybody wants to talk a little bit about what their concerns are. I was thinking since we have a little extra time on this call, we don't want to take too much time, but maybe we could have our developers, if they're on the line, kind of talk a little bit about their rationale for this measure and why they got the low reliability results they got and sort of how they interpret those results. So maybe we should start with our reviewers first and see if you have any comments or thoughts about reliability of this measure.
So this is Matt Austin. I'll speak up first. I mean, I'd look to others to help educate me. I guess I just was concerned with the appropriateness of using signal to noise for rare events. But it's more maybe a point of ignorance than necessarily thinking it's incorrect.
This is Mike. I'm not so sure that it's incorrect. I guess I think that because the numbers are so small, there really is a lot of noise. So the signal it's really hard to find a signal. And the fact that they said, "Well, we expect it to be low, and therefore it is low," doesn't give me a lot of confidence in the reliability of the measure. I'm not sure what method might be better, but I think that what they're really finding, as you might expect, because the sample size is low, that they really have a lot of a significant problem with reliability.
So maybe we could, with that, do we have our developers online?
Yes. This is Molly Vaughn.
Talk a little bit about your interpretation of the results and sort of why you used the method you did and
right, yep. First off, yes, you're correct. This is a measure that we would expect there to be a low incidence of falls with major injury because it is a never event and does not occur frequently, and we would hope it does not occur frequently in settings. So when you're interpreting the low reliability, the signal-to-noise ratio, it's a measure of how well a measure can detect differences across facilities. So for quality measures in long-term care and post-acute care settings, we typically see values that are 0.1 or lower. And as one of the reviewers mentioned on here, we did expect a low amount of cross-provider variation because this measure is an ever event, as in it is largely preventable and should never occur. That being said, we feel that measuring falls with nature injury is very important from a quality of care perspective across post-acute care settings, as it is associated with very poor health outcomes and poor care across facilities. So
this is Mike again. I think that I certainly understand the desire to have a measure of this, but we have to look at the reliability as it is, and I think that, as you would expect, because the numbers are so small, this kind of measure inherently doesn't have much reliability. And as much as we'd like to have a measure of it, just that doesn't get me over the reliability hump.
I guess because better quality for this measure is associated with a lower score, and you wouldn't expect falls of major injury to occur at a high rate because it's we're looking at comas and concussion and very very poor very very bad falls here. So what I guess from NQF's perspective, what kind of reliability would you expect for a measure that is measuring such low incidence?
I mean, the problem is that most of these units will have zero or one events in most periods, and the measure basically just is. Has a lot of randomness in it, simply because of that. It doesn't. I don't see how there's any way that you can deal with such small numbers that come up with a reliable measure that's going to be able to separate the units that are doing better than the others, because there's simply so much noise inherently in data with such small counts.
I'm going to turn it over. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Dan Barge with RTI. So the observations are non-random. They're actually the problem with the reliability analyses that we have is that they're based on an entirely different field of study where you would. It comes from the field of psychometrics, where you would design tests so that you don't have ceiling or floor effects. This is quite different because we really want a floor effect. Like, as a society, we want people not to fall with major injury. The floor effect is actually quite desirable. And when we have, such large, if our measure mean across settings is usually about like 0.5%, which means like for every one incidence, you have 199 non-incidents. So it's actually, when you think of it that way, the data are quite consistent. It's just that the measures that we have were developed for things like IQ tests, which are, just a totally different thing. So I would, argue against the idea that there are, that the data are randomly scattered, or that there's a lot of noise.
Well, this is Mike again. I don't want to keep on repeating myself, but I think that whether you think of it as the top or the bottom, the fact is that it's just what distinguishes one unit from the next is whether or not they had a fall, and that is. Has a lot more randomness than it has signal inherently, because we're looking at these rare events.
I understand where you're coming from, but we've also demonstrated that there is a significant effect of fertility, you know, we can run an ANOVA test and reject the null hypothesis that there's no effect of fertility membership. So there are significant differences between facilities. The effect size is not large, but of course we wouldn't expect it to be.
Yeah, well, yeah, I suppose that I could see how that would be true. But the real thing is, if you report this measure, you know, and one of the nursing homes, one of the SNFs has a happens to have a fall on one day, one of the measurement periods, it's going to look like it has a bad outcome. And then then next year or the next period it could have zero, and there's really nothing changed in the quality. It's just whether or not this rare event happened, and that's just simply not a reliable measure.
That's understandable, but we also have a sample size restriction, which means that the proportions are more stable. You know, so if we have a SNF with, you know, one person in it and that person happens to fall, you know, they would have the score of 100%. That doesn't happen. We have a minimum sample size.
The issue is not the size of the denominator.
The
issue is the size of the numerator.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about falls that can be random. We're talking about falls with major injury, which is preventable.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything more to say. I don't think that this analysis demonstrates reliability, and I don't think that I wouldn't have expected it to, because I think that because it's based on such small numbers, it just can't have it.
So, Mike, this is Matt Austin. I'm just asking a question. I mean, would sort of consistency over time be a stronger way of looking at reliability?
Well, I think that if they found consistency over time, that would be evidence of it. But I think that they won't. We don't know. Of course, they didn't try.
But I would think that might demonstrate a stronger quality signal. If I'm a facility that has had a fall every year for 5 years, that would seem to any indicative that there really is a quality problem as opposed to the risk.
Right. For sure, if they found that would, I would regard that as evidence, but that's not what they did, and I guess I don't expect to find that because of the nature of the small numbers of events.
But is it not still an important thing to measure?
Not if you're measuring noise. I mean, like this could put some of these in a lot of trouble just because they had bad luck in one period. They had one fall that period. Whether it's important to measure it and whether it's reliable are two different things. You need both. And it's not our job to assess the measurement. I mean, the importance on this committee, our job at this moment is to assess the reliability. I simply don't think that it's been demonstrated.
Any other thoughts from our committee members? Or reviewers, rather? Lacey, any comments from your end?
Sorry, this is the measure that I've recused myself on. So,
I see. Sorry.
No worries. Correct.
All right. Well, this did receive a low, moderate, or I believe low or insufficient rating. Taking a look back here. So we actually don't necessarily need to vote on that. I thought it would be worth just bringing up again to kind of talk through the issues, see if anybody had a change of mind. Maybe we could still do a re-vote on it just to ensure that we've got a reliable vote and see what the result is there. And I think since we have a little, you know, extra time, we can go ahead and talk about validity as well. we had a consensus not reached on validity. The developer did a test of the at the score level, which included a confidence interval analysis and variation by discharge destination. There was, again, some concern about whether these were appropriate methods to assess validity and whether the results did indicate validity. Do we have any thoughts or discussion on that?
So this is Matt. I actually personally voted moderate. The confidence interval analysis didn't quite pan out the way they were hoping. I thought their analysis looking at the discharge destination did align with their hypothesis in terms of those with a fall with a serious injury are more likely to be discharged to a hospital.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on that? Michael?
I struggled with that point when I was reading it the first time, but I do feel a little bit better about it now. But I guess I'm so is this we're talking about the basically the relationship between the rate of falls and the what happened to them after they get out of this facility. So for instance, I mean, what I have written in my notes here is that residents who had a fall that resulted in a major injury were discharged to acute settings at a higher rate than residents who experienced a fall that resulted in a less severe injury. Well, yeah, that's what you would expect, that if they had a fall with injury, they would more likely go to a hospital to take care of it. But I'm not sure why that is a measure of validity, as opposed to
I guess maybe it's assessing whether the fall did indeed lead to what was a major injury. I don't know. Maybe the developer can.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'll say one more thing. I guess I think there may be a confusion here between what happens to the individuals and a measure of quality of the of the settings.
Mike, this is Matt. Clarify. You're saying that perhaps the validity was looking at an individual resident level as opposed to a facility level.
Right. So suppose that you had people from SNFs that were all exactly the same with respect to their quality. But then you looked at the residents who had a major injury, and you found that they were more likely to go to a hospital. Okay, yeah, that's because they had a major injury. It doesn't tell me anything about the differential in quality between the SNFs.
This is the measure developer, Molly Vaughn. Is it okay if I jump in, or?
Yeah, please do.
Sure. So this analysis, the variation by discharge destination, this was looking at the item level validity of this measure. So we wanted to make sure that the item that is measuring falls with major injury if someone indicates that they had a fall with major injury, they are in fact seeing these same patients discharged to acute care settings or having worse healthcare outcomes. So it's showing the construct validity basically of the measure. So hospitalizations are associated with more adverse health outcomes and higher costs than healthcare utilization. So, that's kind of just to give you some insight into why we were looking at that, in addition to the confidence interval analysis that we ran. So it's just one piece of validity testing.
So maybe like some of the other measures we reviewed in the last call might be better thought of as data element validity testing, which again does meet our standards.
Yeah, that makes a little more sense to me.
However, I guess this is Matt. Ahead, Matt. Did indicate that it was performance measure score testing. And I think maybe the concern is the measure is specified at the facility level. Well, yeah. And the stay level. And I guess that's where I was getting a little stuck too, is do they need to demonstrate validity testing for both levels? Because that the testing they provided feels more stay level than facility level.
Well, again, it might be better to describe. Again, it looks like we're looking at the kind of a more something more like data element validity testing. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to sort of proclaim that, but that's kind of how we were looking at some of the earlier measures we reviewed. That maybe just sort of a difference in terminology here. If they don't actually need to provide score level testing, if they have provided data element level testing, this if you consider this to be reasonable form of testing validity at one of those levels, whatever they happen to call it, you can still give it a moderate rating. It would only be eligible for a moderate rating if we considered it data element validity testing, whereas if it were score level, we could give it a high. But it sounds like that's not something you were likely to do anyway. But again, at the patient level, I don't know if it makes a difference whether you're rolling up at the state or the facility level if you're getting data element validity.
Go ahead.
That's okay. This is Molly Vaughn again. I just wanted to clarify the confidence interval validity testing that we ran was at the facility level. So, that score level.
Yeah.
We're looking at, variability in the score. So, I mean, we have both in our validity testing.
Right. Yeah, that's true. Thank you for that clarification.
So on the data element level, if we think about this, the second test as being at the data element level, the fact that we, looking at the rates again for the SNF setting, 62% versus rates in the 20% for those with major injury versus less severe or no injury. That doesn't tell me very much. I think you could be pretty far off on the data elements and still find a result like that. So for instance, if somebody had a major injury, only less than 2/3 of them are going to an acute care setting, how major is that injury if they don't have to go someplace else to get it treated? So I guess it doesn't give me a lot of confidence even at the data element level.
So Mike, this is Matt. If I heard you correctly, your concern is that, like for the SNF, only 51% of patients who had residents who had a fall resulting in a major injury actually you would expect it to be higher if it truly was a major injury.
Yeah. I mean, if you wanted to, if someone, if the developer wanted to offer evidence that this is really picking up major injuries, I guess I would have expected that to be higher. maybe it's okay. Maybe there are they can be treated where they were, but you know, if we were doing a a comparison between what the medical record says and what some gold standard says, we'd be looking at a lot higher rates of agreement than 61%.
Right. Yeah, that's sort of what went through my head was, what is the gold standard, right? The data source that's being used for the measure of the gold standard.
Hi. Hi, Dan again from the developer. So with the data available to us, we didn't have what you would call, you know, necessarily a gold standard, but the intent of the analysis was to show that the different levels of the variable we're using predict different outcomes. And, I mean, given that people are already in a care facility. Now, I'm not a clinician, I'm a statistician, but I would imagine that, you know, that for a lot of major injuries, maybe that, you know, the facility can provide care for people, you know, with certain injuries, you know, a broken hip, a subdermal hematoma. But the importance was to show that the item is predicting different outcomes at the different levels, and therefore validating the item that this measure is based upon.
So I understand that, but I guess what we don't have is a benchmark to how that would say, you know, how much higher you would expect it to be in the acute care with the acute care discharges to the acute care setting than to the other ones. I'm sorry. We don't have a benchmark to say how much higher you would expect it to be comparing the major injury to the other two categories. So I don't know what to expect. And when you talk about predicting, you know, that sounds to me more like a measure of convergent validity or predictive validity rather than data element validity. So I think that if to accept this, I would have to have a more well-developed presentation that makes clear exactly what's being done for what purpose and why these numbers are convincing.
This is Karen from AQF. This has been a really great discussion. I want to back to our criteria, and I want to just probably underscore what Mike just mentioned. Validity testing demonstrates that the measure data elements are correct. So when we're thinking about data element validation, that's what we're looking for. Are the data elements correct? We go on to say that typically what we're looking at or looking for is seeing the agreement between what's used in the measure and another authoritative source of the same information. So I think the question in front of you with this analysis is, does that really make you feel like you can feel confident that the data elements are correct? So they didn't really necessarily compare against the authoritative source. They didn't go back against the medical record. They did this kind of patient-level construct validation thing. Do you feel like that is enough to make you feel like the data elements are correct? That's your question.
Thanks, Karen. Any more comments or thoughts on this or questions for the developer? Well, hearing none, I think we can, I guess, go ahead and take another vote. And that is, I believe, everything we had to cover. Trying to think if there's anything else we should discuss here. I think that's it. Any final comments from our reviewers?
Nothing from me. Thank you very much. This has been awesome.
All set, too.
All right. Then we'll go ahead and ask you to enter your updated votes. Thank you for taking the time to participate. Thank you to the developers. We'll reach out back to you with some with the results and some thoughts and feedback as well. Again, thanks to everybody, and we will be in touch again shortly.
Thank you.